News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. And if you find yourself driving, by the way, outside of the overly broad range of WVNN's AM-FM capability, just know that you can pick us up anywhere you are by going online, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and click Listen Live. And like I say, wherever you is, there we is. But folks, I got to tell you before we go any further, too, real quickly about my friends over at etaxbreaks.com. You know what I love is when I do these commercials where I kind of talk about them personally, it's because I know them personally. And I even saw, got some more people join the team today that I look forward to bringing to your attention next week. But all said and done, these folks over at etaxbreaks.com, what they do is they find your company money. Did I get your attention? They find your company money that you didn't know it qualified for. And it's usually for just the common sense stuff, like you chose to put your business in a good location. You didn't know that location may have qualified you for funds. Or who you hired. Like, did you hire a veteran? Or did you keep your business open during the pandemic and retain your employees? Or did you survive a natural disaster? I mean, all these things, it's amazing. There's over 3,000 programs that qualify you for immediate cash or tax refunds or any number of things, grants. And etaxbreaks.com, that's what they do. They find them for you. And last month alone, they billed out over $7 million for their clients. And they only get paid if they find you money. Go check them out. They got a special landing page just for Right Side listeners. Go to etaxbreaks.com/rightside. Just check it out and see what you think. I think you'll be impressed. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. Well, today is September 10th. September 10th. 20 years ago on September 10th, life was normal. 20 years ago on September 10th, there was no 9/11 brewing that we knew of. There was nothing that was about to happen, but yet it was. And we found out the next morning that terrorism is not confined to other places. And that we found out that if you allow a sovereign nation to become a harborer of terrorists, that they will foment and grow and breed themselves outside of the borders of that sovereign nation. In that case, it was Afghanistan. And they can come and they can do bad things. And they did. And Al-Qaeda, who had been harbored by the Taliban, who are, by the way, now in charge of Afghanistan again, took the time to put together a plan that wound up taking the lives of over 3,000 U.S. citizens and other folks who were in the World Trade Centers and in the Pentagon in a grassy field in Pennsylvania. And it had a dramatic impact on my life, I can just tell you. And I still remember where I was. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute. And in a little while, by the way, in about 20 minutes, my sweet wife Charlene is going to call in. We're just going to have a conversation for y'all's benefit, but a conversation between the two of us about how that has impacted our lives and what has happened to our family even since then. What does 9/11 mean to us? And where are we right now as a nation just in terms of us? But I got to ask you, I hope you have. If you haven't done it, I want to encourage you. New York City, you know, for all the troubles, I love New York City, by the way. One of my favorite trips, a bucket list item that we finally got to accomplish was for, I carried it around. You think I'm kidding, but I carried it around in my pocket literally for years. A little bitty flyer from Tavern on the Green in Central Park in New York City. And I was just determined that I was going to take Charlene there because she had been there one time before and it was like a magical place. And so we finally had our chance to go. But while we were there, we also took the time to go to Ground Zero. And we also took the time to go walk over to another monument that a lot of folks don't even realize because something about the way it's been positioned kind of keeps it slightly out of the way. If you're not familiar with it, I want to describe to you, it's called, look it up if you get a chance, it's called America's Response Monument. Like if I ever just have the opportunity to buy something that costs too much money, and because I can, I want my own personal, you know, smaller version of a bronze of America's Response Monument. It was put together and mounted just off of Ground Zero. And it was done in, I think, 2003. No, I take it back. In 2011 is when the full size, it's an oversized 16-foot tall monument of one of the Special Forces guys riding a horse in Afghanistan. And the way they set it up, he and the horse are slightly reared back and looking at ground zero. And my own personal story is soon after 9/11, I was mobilized, and not long after that, I was riding horses in Afghanistan. And so that particular statue means a lot to me. But the entire place, if you've never been to Ground Zero, you guys, I mean, I got to tell you, and I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here, that was the most solemn, moving presentation of anything I've ever seen. I mean, it was one of those where you just walk through the museum, the Ground Zero. If you're not familiar, they have taken the hole in the ground where one of the Twin Towers stood, and they made that hole basically into a monument. And you descend down into the hole to go to the museum. But they have this almost like an infinity pool. The waterfall comes down on all four sides of this giant hole in the ground, and goes off down into a black hole and recirculates, I guess, as a fountain. But it's amazing, literally an amazing place. And the amount of preserved items from 9/11 that are there, it'll blow your mind. Copper, have you ever been there to Ground Zero?
I have. I was there back in 2009. I think one of the infinity pools was done, and one of the others wasn't, because looking up pictures just now, I do remember seeing one of those. And yeah, it was quite moving walking around. You could, you know, just touch the names of all the people on the banister around the pool. And yeah, all these plaques with stories, and also reading about how they were designing a new tower with all this new technology to make it more defensible. And I know that's not the real point of the memorial, but it was just moving to see how much thought had gone into it.
And then right across the street is, what's the name of the church right across the street? Gosh, I'll think of it in a minute, but how cool was that church? It's like literally one of the original churches in New York City, still there. If you find it, Copper, let me know. But, and that church is perfectly preserved. I mean, literally hardly anything happened to it, and it was right next door, and it became command central basically for the rescue efforts. And then you've got too the Pentagon. So I worked at the Pentagon in 2009 and 10, and you found that church?
St. Paul's Chapel.
St. Paul's, that's right. It was St. Paul's in New York City, right across the street from Ground Zero. And what an amazing story St. Paul's is. So I've had a chance to go and walk through St. Paul's too. It's open to the public. Go check it out. And then the Pentagon, people don't realize, by the way, another thing you can also do if you're in D.C., is you can request a tour of the Pentagon. You would think, what? You could do that? Yes, you can. You have to go online. I think you just go to like pentagontours.gov. You have to sign up for it because they can only take a limited amount per day. But they have uniformed service members that will actually take you on a tour. It's a fascinating tour. But it also takes you to the 9/11 memorial in the Pentagon with the any number of small benches with names on them. Where people are represented who died in the Pentagon. And there were, when I was there, there were folks that I worked with who were there that day. And there's some amazing stories that come out of it. And one of the things that really just caught my attention, it was so amazing, was it's almost like a tornado, you know, where a tornado has this like really happenstance way of hitting one house and not doing the next. And there was one section of the Pentagon where they told me later on, I saw this huge map on the wall, and it was like a map, it was like an architect's rendering of a portion of the building. It was the portion that had been destroyed. And this woman had taken the time to put red, green, and yellow dots on every spot. It was every spot where either someone had died, or they had been injured, or they came out unscathed, depending on the color, red, green, or yellow. And it was amazing to see there'd be a room where there'd be five reds and one green. Five people died, but one got out unscathed. And then she marked every single place where someone had been when the plane hit. And it was fascinating to me. But folks, 9/11 happened. And one of the things that really struck me about 9/11 was afterwards was this giant sense in our nation of coming together. Do you remember that? I remember that. And Copper, I know you were young. You were 5 or 6 years old at the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was 6.
Do you remember anything about like the national mood, does that strike you at all, or was it just too young for you, I guess, at that time?
I think I was a little too young. We also moved, ironically, to Northern Virginia right outside D.C. the week after 9/11. So I think there was just some overall chaos going on with the move that I didn't notice, but it did stand out to me. I mean, I remember the exact moment and place when I heard about it, too.
So what do you remember being that young? What do you remember? Tell me.
Well, we were about to move, so all of our furniture was already packed up. We were sitting on the bare ground with packed lunch and the radio in front of us.
Wow.
That's all we had in the house, and I remember, I don't remember the words on the radio, I just remember how heavy the situation felt and how horrified my parents were.
Wow. Well, I remember distinctly where I was, and I'm sure some of y'all do too, and later on, I'm going to want to hear your stories. But folks, listen, it's important that we maintain the memory, all right? And I don't mean maintain the memory in terms of, you know, fear and regret. Maintain the memory in terms of the heroism. Maintain the memory in terms of the national unity. Maintain the memory in terms of never again. Maintain the memory of we shall not forget. And maintain the memory of the fact that the United States came together in the wake of 9/11 like nothing I'd ever seen in my entire lifetime. I mean, it was this, there was this entire sense of that just happened, and it didn't matter what your politics were. It didn't matter, you know, what your background was. None of it mattered as much as the fact that we were Americans, and that just happened. And we're going to do something about it, and by God, it's not going to happen again. And that was a huge, and that did not fade for a long, long time. And so one of the things that's so frustrating to me right now, though, is to watch the way I guess I have to say liberals are trying to spin some of this. I found an article, and I was looking at it and thinking, okay, what's this article saying to me? And it says that 9/11 education, where'd this come from? This is on Fox. Is that, so somebody went down to University of Florida and interviewed students, like, you know, man on the street interviews, and the 9/11 education is being said by these students that we should avoid placing blame and we should leave out the gruesome details. And that American exceptionalism is just rooted in a whole lot of colonialist and imperialist notions of how we treat each other. I'm just telling you, that's crap. So wake up, college kids. Those of you that believe that way. And by the way, I know a bunch of college kids who don't believe that way. I know a bunch of them who, after 9/11, stopped going to school and literally joined the military because they were, by God, not going to be left behind on this one. I'm just telling you, folks. There are any number of people out there who have this misguided notion that something about the United States is not right, and they're wrong. They are wrong. But I was also chagrined to see that AL.com just ran an article. AL.com just ran an article and said that Alabama teachers must discuss 9/11. Good, good. That drew me in. But then it went on to say, here's how. Okay. Well, it is AL.com, so what are they doing? Well, they went into some parts where they were talking about the fact that we should remember it, we should talk about heroism, but then the entire article turned to cultural sensitivity and how we need to talk about the fact that, you know, you can't just talk about Muslims like that. No, we don't. We talk about Muslim extremists. I've never heard anybody blame Muslims, but I've heard them blame Muslim extremists. I'll say that right now. Muslim extremists are the ones who flew those planes into the Twin Towers. And this whole article just talked about the fact that we need to teach things in a culturally sensitive manner and make sure that we don't allow anything to hurt someone's feelings and recognize that it might be necessary to change the storyline based upon our demographic or our age groups. You know what? Tell the stories and make sure that, like Copper when she was 5 years old, can still remember the gravity of the moment. Kids grow up recognizing what's important. But if you never tell them what's important, they don't know. Well, folks, we're moving to a short break here. When we come back, I want to talk about this some more. And at the top of the hour, my sweet wife's going to call in. We're going to talk for a minute openly about what it was like. How do we feel about it? What did it do for our family? And then I'd love to hear from you, because 9/11 has to be remembered. And as long as I've got a microphone, and it is an honor, by the way, to have this microphone, we're going to remember 9/11 for what it was. It was a moment that never should have happened, but once it did, we came together. And that's what I remember. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We shall be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right, remembering 9/11 right now. And, you know, my wife's going to call in a few minutes, the lovely Charlene. You hear me talk about her all the time. By the way, we have our 35th anniversary coming up pretty soon, Copper. 35 years.
Congratulations.
We got a little bit of time left, but yes, we are brewing 35 years. But, we're going to talk about 9/11, but before she comes on, let me tell you my day, 9/11. I know that most of you remember where you were. A lot of folks say those landmark moments in time stick with you, like you can remember exactly where you were. If you were alive then, you remember where you were when you heard that Kennedy had been shot. I've talked to people that have told me that they, you know, remember when Pearl Harbor happened, they knew where they were when they heard the news. And there's different moments in time like that. For me, one of those landmark moments in time, I can remember exactly where I was when I started hearing about the events of 9/11. I was driving to work. Actually, there was a guy that needed a ride to work, so I was driving to pick him up. I was in my old Jeep, had the top down. It was a beautiful fall day. The weather was perfect, and the radio was on. I was listening to a local radio talk show, and somebody called in, and the guy's name was Jay, and somebody called in and said, "Hey, Jay, something's going on. I don't know what's happening, but some plane has flown into one of those World Trade Centers up in New York," and everybody, I was thinking this was like, you know, somebody flew a Cessna out of whack and hit one of the towers. I thought, what a crazy thing. But then I got to the guy's house that I was picking up, and he stepped outside the door, and like I was waiting for him to come out, and he steps out and he goes, "Hey man, you got to come inside and see this." I thought, what? So I shut the car off and I'm like, "Wait, we got to go to work, dude." And I go walking up to the house, and we're standing there in his den. The first tower had already been hit. And while we're watching it and he's explaining to me what's happening, I say, "How big a plane was it?" The second plane flew into the tower. And I remember when that happened, I looked at him and I said, "Is this on replay? Was it live?" And it was live. And I just watched the second plane fly right into the second tower. And by the time I got to the office, I was completely distracted. This was obviously not anymore an accident, an inadvertent thing, an unfortunate circumstance. And I remember thinking to myself, when the towers fell down, I thought, the whole world is different now. And it was. And it has been ever since. We have learned to live with it, but it changed the trajectory of my life completely, mine and my family's. And when Charlene comes on here in a few minutes, we'll talk about that. And I'd love to hear from y'all at the bottom of the next half hour. We'll open the phone lines up. I'd love to hear from you. Where were you when you heard about 9/11? All right, folks, the lovely Charlene's calling in at the moment. It is 3:59. This is WVNN News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. WVNN. We'll be right back after this.